Welcome back to Conscious Success, the podcast where we teach you how to master your mind, expand your wealth, and enhance your health. I'm your host, Madhu, and today we're talking with Preston Smiles, who is teaching us how to become a spiritual millionaire, not only in a monetary way, but also in terms of how to create the internal, psychological, and somatic real estate to become the greatest version of yourself possible, how to overcome traumas and shame to actually step into your potential and live the life that you frankly deserve to live. This is something that is going to absolutely blow your freaking mind. Check this out. Hey,
what up?
I'm so excited for this conversation where we're first going to explore abundance, which I've heard. I mean, if I had a dime for every time I heard somebody use the word abundance in a frame where I'm like, okay, all right, maybe. I'm really excited to jump into this concept of abundance. And One thing that I think you're uniquely qualified to talk on is giving a proper definition and understanding of abundance so that it's not this kind of lofty meta topic that's often kind of brought out in a general way. So one thing I'd be very curious to explore is, what would you define abundance as, and how would you explain it in relationship with the different areas of life?
Yes. Ooh. Okay. In a sentence, abundance is the context of more than enough. And that would mean more than enough, or overflowing. That's another word I would use. Overflowing when it comes to energy, health-wise. Overflowing when it comes to friendships and connection, love. Overflowing when it comes to creativity. It's more than enough. I don't have to look for it. And I'll give you an example. None of us, since we've been in this room, have even thought once or twice about getting air, because there's such an abundance of air that there's a trust, there's a letting go. And so for me, my big work is around experiencing abundance in all areas of life, but especially the ones you care about. And why? Because I believe that the fruit doesn't belong to the tree. I think the fruit belongs to the ecosystem. And whatever my fruit is producing by way of what I care about, by way of what is handwritten on my soul, that becomes the gift to humanity. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things, right? Like you got pretty big muscles, right? I'm not there yet. I care about it, but not that much, right? But you do. That's why health is one of the pillars on your website. I love that, right? So, more than enough.
I love this. Like enough plus. I could see a little graphic. Enough plus. There's a Sanskrit term, anandam buddhivardhanam, that everything is expanding. Even in when we're looking at this world, the universe is always expanding. But somehow or other, the mind takes some effort to figure that out. I love how you eloquently explain that. The way in which you talk about abundance in your book, which I'm really excited to talk about today, but in general in your teachings, there's a way in which you present the topic of abundance with abundance. There's a way in which you talk about it. You talk about something ever expanding in an ever expanding, joyful way, in a way that it's as if the charisma animates you when you talk about the abundance, which seems to be a type of the proof of the pudding's in the tasting. It's like you see someone, you know, abundance. You know, there's a
tell your face.
Yeah. There's a way in which, you know, when you talk about it, it makes sense why, what to speak of your knowledge on the topic, but it's like you live that abundance. What was, say, a pivotal moment in your life? Or like, do you recall a time or a circumstance or a timeline that inspired you to start, say, looking in the direction or changing from that material frame of economics? There's not enough, you know, there's not enough to go around to starting to shift that to an abundance mindset.
Yeah. I mean, man, I've had so many in these 44 years of being on this planet. I'll say this. There was a point when I was studying to be a pastor.
Okay.
And I quit twice. And one of those times I was in a class called The Power of Prayer, and we were reading a book by Ernest Holmes, Science of Mind. And there was a line in that book that said to get your questions answered and your answers questioned. And it literally stopped me in my tracks.
Say it one more time.
There we go.
Everyone should hear that one more time.
There we go. To get your questions answered and your answers questioned. Mm. So like that moment in that class in Inglewood, California, it was like tire screeching. My whole body was like, oh, yes. And then my mind started to expand on it. And I sat with, okay, what has become an of course for me? And how much of the of course that lives in my body is social and historical programming? How much of this is because of what a good little Christian boy does? Mm. How much of this is an apology for the stereotype that some people have around Black men? Mm. How much of this is me contorting based on the childhood shame and trauma that I experienced and the safety strategy that the 7-year-old little boy created to get love? And what came back because I questioned the answer was like 90% of it is not who you are, but rather who you became. And so what you're experiencing of me is a getting out of the way. What you're experiencing is somebody who's had visceral experiences, whether it's in, you know, I've done probably 31 ayahuasca ceremonies. Mm. I've watched people die bloody deaths, like gargling and scratching and clawing to get one more breath. And each of those times, I became a spiritual millionaire. Every single time I had my own death, I think it was William James or James Blake, one of those, William James, talks about the concept of the first self and the second self, right? First self, we're all bought into the matrix. Second self, the higher self, right? There's a death that has to happen. Mm. And I've had so many of these miniature deaths and big deaths. And I think the biggest opening for me, I'd say, came in seeing my son for the first time. Mm. There's something about being with a being that chose you that sparks an aliveness. And so I've been on this path a long time, man. I got so many stories, so many things, but that's a little bit of like how I have chosen to play life this way. Because I also get, and this is the last thing I'll say, I also get that none of this matters. All of it does, and none of it does. Right? Out of 8 billion people, we found each other. So this matters, and we're like ants. Right? Somebody can walk by and kick our mound, and we, and everybody's like, what the fuck, bro, where are we going to live now? Oh my God. And then we build our mound back up. And we dress it up and we put a Mercedes sign on it and a Gucci sign on it and all these different things, but it's still a mound. Mm. And it still will go like everything else.
It's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate your point of it's not like I had one epiphany and then voila, but rather it's the way you present it, it's a consistent decision to turn towards a conscious lifestyle, to make that decision on a daily basis or regular basis. And some of the examples you gave were almost like opportunities or reminders to then make that decision to move in the conscious direction of life. I mean, we're talking about conscious success here, right? On this podcast. And so I think it's a very important perspective that sometimes people think as soon as X happens, then I'll be that spirit. I'll become a spiritual millionaire. No. Then I'll become a consciously successful. Then I'll become X. But rather, as you so well explained, it's a matter of making decision after decision. Mm-hmm. And you also gave quite the contrast of like some of the most beautiful things that you've ever experienced.
Yes.
And some things that were hard enough for people to even listen to in this world. Mm-hmm. And yet the way you presented it, they're happening for you. It's like all these were opportunities for you then to take conscious action, make that decision to take, was it second life? I think you said first life, second life, to actually move in the direction of that second life or away from that programmed, conditioned, and we're all traumatized in different ways. That creates our conditioning. Is that what also inspired you from a young age to then, as you're uncovering, okay, these are my conditioned traumas per se. Is that what then inclined you in direction to learning about traumas and healing traumas in yourself and others?
Or? No, man. I had a heart condition come up. I never wanted to be what people know me as. This wasn't a dream. This wasn't like, oh, I'm going to grow up and be a speaker and X, Y, and Z. I was so stressed out from the life that I was living that my body kept breaking down. Mm. And first, the first big one was I got a skin condition where anywhere the sun touched, I would get hives. That means my face, my toes, anywhere.
No kidding.
And no doctors could figure it out. They just gave me steroids.
Yep.
Said, every time this happens, just put the steroids on and stay out of the sun. So I'd wear gloves while I was driving, the whole thing. And there's a lot of statistics around most of the things that people go into the doctor's offices about are psychosomatic, meaning they have less to do with the disease that this person thinks they have and more to do with their stress levels and how they're actually living. And so I was a textbook case of this. Then, 25 years old, I graduated from Louisiana State University as a theater major, get back to LA, start working at Abercrombie & Fitch with my shirt off, doing that thing. And my heart just kept going crazy. And I'm like, this feels weird, man. I told a few people at my job and they were like, bro, you should go actually to a doctor. So I set up an appointment. I go and the doctor says, you need to see a cardiologist immediately. This is a serious situation. So same day, I end up in a cardiologist's office. There's like 60-year-olds and 70-year-olds and me as a 25-year-old kid. And come to find out, I was so stressed and eating so terribly and holding, because the body's a living library that stores everything we've ever been through. And so I had been holding since childhood, not just my trauma, my shame, my stuff, but I was holding my dad's and my mom's and my community. Because some of us grow up in households where everything's free and clear and you talk about stuff. That wasn't my household. We stuffed things down. And so children are very adaptive. When I adapted in a way in which I became an out-of-the-way kid. And so the decision I made as a child was like, oh, they're stressed out. They're battling their own demons. I won't add more. So an example is I never broke anything as a child. I did a bunch of crazy stuff. I was in a gang. I used to do wild stuff. My friends got arrested. My friends got shot. My friends got killed. I never, ever got caught for any of the stuff we did, and nor did I ever break a bone. And that was for one reason. It's because I didn't want to add stress.
Inconvenience, mom.
That. Yeah. Right? So I carried that throughout my life to this point where my heart starts to break down, and the doctor says, listen, you're going to need to take pills for the rest of your life, and you might want to look at your diet and how you stress. I was like, what is that? I was literally a regular ass person, like not the dude you guys see now. Sure. I was nothing like this. That day, I became a vegan. That day, I went home and my ex-girlfriend's mom said, hey, I heard about what happened. And I got this book called Asking It Is Given by Jerry and Esther Hicks. I think you should read it. I know you're dyslexic. I know you don't read, but I think you should. And, I was so desperate. I read it. And I remember dropping the book, maybe 5 pages in. It's like, what is this? Your thoughts become things. You create your own reality. Yep. This is 2005. There was no such thing as an influencer. None of this stuff was popular. This was, there was nowhere.
The internet's even just starting to become like that, a thing.
That. Then I go watch Zeitgeist. And I go down the rabbit hole of conspiracies and the whole... Bro, I literally became an angry vegan. I denounced my religion. I like went balls to the wall. And then I came out of that eventually. Mm. and realized that out of my greatest pain came my greatest gain. And that this rejection, if you may, was actually direction, and that this was a part of my calling. And so I stepped forward and I said, God, thank you. Thank you. Because I could have just died, but instead you've supported me. You've helped me help myself. And I feel so alive and so lit up that I'm not just going to keep this for myself. I'm going to go back and help people who don't know. And that began this career.
If you've ever considered having a podcast, especially if you're expert at what you do, I cannot suggest more highly using Podigy's service, which is what we use. If you like this production here, I highly suggest you reach out to Podigy through their contact in the show notes below to run and host your podcast. I went through a bunch of different teams, tried a bunch of different things. No one came close to what I got post-production from Podigy, and even just making a launch easy, taking your content, sharing it, making it presentable. Please check out Podigy. If you're great at what you do and you've ever considered having a podcast, I really am excited for you to try them out as well. I'm like, I feel it as you're speaking. I feel it. And I mean, 25 is around the time the brain, quote unquote, fully develops. And so it's just interesting how you, it's like the pendulum swung from one side all the way to the other. And what is it? Sometimes they say people have to hit rock bottom or have to go into those dark places. And so, you know, you swung to the anger. And I remember once, the first time I ever got my car tuned, when I was maybe 17 or something like that. And I remember the mechanic explaining, oh, you have to turn the wheel all the way to one side and all the way to the other to calibrate the wheels. And I've always had this concept that you remind me, it's like, in order to find balance, sometimes you have to go to both sides of extremes to know what those sides are, so that you know what balance actually looks like. And I mean, I'm inspired, what to speak of somebody who also has, say, dyslexia, and somebody who had a very similar visceral negative response to this kind of conscious knowledge. Yeah. What you're telling me, thoughts and feelings, and you know, body's a temple. Like, give me a break. Yes. The body's a bag of bones or whatever the case might be. I mean, I just, it's so inspiring to hear at like super young age. I mean, 25-year-old, I mean, anyone listening to this, 25, kudos. You're on the right, you're doing it. If you're younger than 20, like, hoorah, you're doing it. But to start at such a relatively young age, but to also have the mindset of, okay, somehow or other, God has supported me in this way, and now it's my duty. I don't know that you said that word, but there's a way in which you're like, it's my obligation to share this out with others. And you also, you never communicate with this happened to me. Madhu, let me just tell you, how dare they?
Yes.
you never communicate with this victimhood or communication, which also is a strong testament to the, let's say, living within the frame of abundance. And I'm curious to what, as you went through this progression, evolution, let's call it, saying, okay, I'm now getting the answers. I'm now learning how to live a more empowered lifestyle, a life that's actually good for me and good for everyone around me. What, how did you start teaching that to others? Like, what did it look like when you were like, okay, now I can start giving this out to others?
Yep. Here's what's awesome, and I want to give myself credit for. I realized pretty early that I wasn't as dope as I thought I was, right? And so I gave myself the gift of space and time to develop. And I now live on 4 acres, and I got like 7 houses and all that stuff. And we are in the process of putting in greenhouses because we want our children to taste. We want our children to taste food that is nutrient rich. And for food to be nutrient rich, it needs time to germinate. And I look back at my life and my career. People always, we all want the quick fix. We all want to, how quick can I get high, right? And so I gave myself the spaciousness of going, okay, I heard the call, game on. Would I like to be rich and famous and all those things right now? Sure, I take it. And this is deeper than that. So, spirit, God, Buddha, Krishna, Allah, Source, Divine Intelligence, use me as a vehicle, as a walking, talking, living demonstration of your love. I will be obedient. I will listen to the degree that I can. Point me in the direction. So I opened myself up. And then here's the kicker. And I still use this principle. I understood back then that elevation requires separation, that there is no way you can keep all your old mental constructs and ways of being and all of that and gain and step into a new life, that something has to give. And so I looked around and made a list of all the things that I was bringing in or participating in that did not feel good to me. Because remember, when you mess with the heart, that's the one place you don't want to mess with. So I actually feel gifted that it wasn't like, you know, something else. That the universe, right? Whisper, tap, 2x4. I got the 2x4. The 2x4 is heart. You mess with that, you die, right? And so the bell got rung and I was scared enough and I understood, what the Buddha said when he said, you will not be punished for your anger, but by it. Right? What am I angry about? What am I ruminating in? What am I recycling over and over and over again? This is before I understood nervous system work. This is before I really got that some of the biggest work you can do is to clear the somatic body and to create energetic real estate. And so what I did is I made a list of all the things that weren't serving me at that point. All the things that potentially may block me from where I'm going. My dad was on that list. Some of my best friends were on that list. Some of the media that I was consuming was on that list. And so one by one, I reached out to those people, or I cut out those situations. And I said, like to my dad, I said, hey, I love you so much. And when you call, when we talk, my nervous system goes into a hypervigilant overdrive state, right? Yeah. And I have to sort of reset over and over and over again. So, Daddy, I'm going to need some space. I'm building something. I feel called towards something. I love you. I'm not going anywhere. I will be back. But right now, I need the space. I think about that now. I'm like, bro, how wise was I? I was a kid, but I understood that my somatic body, because it's the whole game, whatever you want. The game is, do you have the somatic body to hold it? It's the last thing I'll say to this. My belief is that God is like electricity. Let's think about the electricity that's powering these microphones and these lights and these cameras. The electricity never says no. It only asks one question, and that question is, do you have the infrastructure for what you are plugging in? Most of us declare with our mouths, I want this, I want that, I want this mountaintop, but you have not built the infrastructure to hold that which your mouth is speaking. And so I, at some level, understood I didn't have the somatic body to hold a big career. And so I made a decision to get rid of my apartment, to move in with my mother, to take the money that I was using for the apartment and all the other stuff and invest it into people like yourself, into workshops. And I was filling my cup. I said, hey, I need money while I'm doing this. What can I do that's in alignment? Hear this. What can I do that's in alignment with where I'm going to make money soon? You teach surf lessons all the time to your friends. How about you create something called Smile Surf School? It'll be the first spiritual surf school in LA. And so I taught surf lessons. I lived at my mom's and I filled my cup. And there was a point where my cup was overflowing and I didn't even have to go find it anymore. I became a lighthouse. People came and found me. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons in the game and in this book is it's not your job to make it happen. It's your job to make it welcome. as we make things welcome, the great orchestration can do its thing, right? Because we're not actually in control. We think we are, right?
We can hardly control our thoughts or our vows. What to speak of and everything else.
Bro, that.
Oh, gosh, I could hear you speak for this for like hours, and I'm excited to. I can't over consolidate what you say because there's too much goodness, but it sounds like step one is it's that surrender. It's that, okay, you know, I'm just a little spirit soul here in a body. And as you mentioned with electricity, it's like, okay, let's start to make myself conductive to electricity and start to plug myself in a mood of surrender to say, okay, you know what's best. Please guide me. Please show me what to do. Is that right?
Yes.
And then step two from there is start to, let's say, change the software or the hardware to actually become an individual that, let's say, have the mental and somatic real estate to become the person that you want. You build yourself to become that type of person over time. And even if it means, or let's say it likely means changing everything, because I believe it's Einstein that says, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So to your point, it's like, how do I start to become a new person, a new character, which means new thoughts, new behaviors, new actions. And from those new behaviors, as you start to say, create that real estate, you start to become more and more of a conduit. I'm thinking like some metals don't do well with electricity. Some do really well. So it's like you become more and more capable of plugging into source. And as you do that, that's what created a sense of wholeness. Like, as you mentioned, you were like, my cup was full. Mm-hmm. And then from there, as the overflow like, you know, as they say, you know, the pitcher never stops pouring from above, right? So as you become open as a jar and as that jar continues to become overflown from that space, it's natural to give.
Yes.
And then all the other things that you want, like you mentioned, like, okay, like, I want all these things, but they became a concomitant factor of you becoming a whole individual.
That.
Is that right?
That. And through that process, and this is the thing, right? You can't have what you want, but you may experience what you have. And so what I started to realize was that these things that I had pedestaled no longer held the same charge, which made me a magnet for them, right? It's like the guy who pretends he doesn't care about the girls is the one who gets the girls, while the one that's anxious trying to get the girl sits on the sidelines, right? And so what I started to notice was like, I choose but don't want. I'll choose that, but I don't want it because I already got, you can't have what you want, but you may experience what you have. So what am I having right now? What am I having as a surf instructor? I started to mentally and spiritually and emotionally rehearse, and then the rehearsals became real life. I no longer needed to do it. It just was who, it was doing me. It was, I was like a divine invitation for seeing paradise everywhere. Right? Some people see a prison and some people see paradise. And I chose paradise over and over and over again. So as I'm teaching surf lessons for $100 for, you know, 2 hours or whatever the case may be, I was already a spiritual millionaire in consciousness then. Still had the beat up Prius, right? Still living at my mom's house. But there was internally and externally, truthfully. Because here's the crazy part. And I think you can tap into this, but I'm living it, so I want to share it with some people. Because I've been poor, quote unquote poor, longer than I've been rich. And right now, I'm rich. Financially, right? Spiritually. Health-wise. Community-wise. Children-wise. Family-wise, right? I'm rich, right? On multiple levels. And the beautiful thing that I want to convey is that you can only poop in one toilet in one room at a time. And whether you have 27 rooms in your house or 27 bathrooms or one, you're still pooping. That shirt
could be a golden toilet. It correct. Could be porcelain.
It's same still process, no yeah. matter what, right? You can only sleep in one bed at a time, whether that bedroom is in a 20 by 20 room or a 6 by 6 room. The choice is prison or paradise. And I chose to see and experience paradise at every level. And so when I finally got the mansion and the big, the cars and all the toys, it is like, this just feels like Tuesday. Because it's always like this, right? Yes, I like the excitement and it's fun to play with these toys and these materials, because why not? Everything wants to be imbued. Everything wants to be loved and used. And so I will imbue this Ninja Turtle the same way I will imbue this G-Wagon. Same thing, right? However, I won't deify it or demonize it. Neither one.
Right? Just accept it for what it is.
Correct. Just materials to play with. Mm. And so there's a context, a mindset and a heart set and a body that enters these spaces in these rooms. And a lot of people think that if they just do enough mindset work, it'll come. And if they do enough action, well, you can do a whole bunch of action and still be poor as F. You can do some of the hardest working people. There'll be somebody who comes and vacuums this place later tonight. That dude does a lot of action. And maybe he thinks rich thoughts, but that's not enough. You have to build a somatic body that can hold it and let go of some of the programming that got you what you got, right? Because a lot of times, if you're not satisfied with what you currently have, which I would suggest you do become satisfied
with whatever it is,
but if you're not, then you get to make an inventory. I started to look at how the identity I had around business and money. Meditating twice a day, transcendental meditation, check, easy. Going to ayahuasca ceremonies, check, easy. Hanging with my spiritual friends and philosophizing, check, easy. Stepping into a room with businessmen and identifying as one of them, extremely hard.
Interesting.
Right? That's where my work was. So for those of you who are like, I'm so tapped in, tap in through business. Find God through being rich as hell. Mm. Find God through having to reconfigure your identity in such a way that you can receive at all levels and feel and know that you belong regardless of the room that you're in. Bro, that is some of the biggest work in the game. And I see that you've stepped into that. I see that you've embodied that. That's a big deal. And it makes sense why you have clients and epic people like Scott in your space.
Thank you. I just want to shout, preach, like preach. So you're giving us some practical tips here. I'm curious to hear a little bit more tools around. So it's like you change the software, right? You change the programming. And I like how you said, it's not even just gaining more. It's not just learning more. It's also let go of.
Yes.
There's a story of a king and a great saint comes into the palace and the king starts complaining, so many dependents, such big families, all these wives and children I have to take care of, and so many ministers, it's so many chief heads I have to oversee. Please tell me, how can I ease my stress, anxiety? And the sage thinks and walks over to a pillar and jumps on it and grabs and holds it with his arms and his legs and starts yelling, "Help! Help! Someone please help me!" And he says, What do you mean help? He says, please, someone help me. He says, what do you want? He says, the pillars got me. Uh-huh. And the king says, you just let go. Yes. What do you mean you just let go? And then finally, the sage looks at him. It's like, you get it? Mm-hmm. He's like, I got it. He says, you have to let go of this stuff that's not helping, as well as acquiring the new. So I appreciate this idea of changing that software, that the inner workings, as well as create, let's say, the hardware. Both in a subtle, but as well as like the physical capacity to become that person, to develop the character of an individual that can hold that space, be it in business, which is, oh man, did I relate with a lot of what you said? It's like, oh yeah, that space of like, I'm not a business, I'm a creative, I'm an artist, whatever it might be. So I so much appreciate that. Are there any other specific tools that you have for how one can say, start to change that blueprint, mm-hmm. start to expand beyond that condition.
Yes.
I'd love to hear.
Yes. One of the biggest tools in the whole game is addressing the shame, guilt, and traumas that we've been through. Because those are the things, right? I have friends who have private jets. I have friends that are like, make $30 million a year. And most of those friends will say the same thing. I'm one of the richest people in the room. Mm. Even though they have way more than me. Addressing the stuff that blocks us from seeing and experiencing heaven every single moment of the day is the whole thing. Again, you can only sleep in one room at a time, no matter how many rooms you got. And if the room you got is covered in gold, but internally you feel heavy, nasty, and there's stuff blocking your heart from experiencing it, you lost. You lost. You can have the golden room and the golden car and the Lamborghini and everything else, but you lost if you can't feel it. If you can't feel it, you lost. So there's the biggest work in the game is removing the blocks, is dealing with the trauma, is addressing the toxic shame. Everybody's got secrets and blood on their hands. Mm. You live long enough, you can see it. I work with these guys. They're jacking off to porn behind the scenes. And I understand why. Because they grew up in Western culture where the wild man, the killer, is not praised. You got to be a good boy, good little boy. But you can't beat your biology while you're in this thing.
Yep.
And so the biology says, oh, I want women. I want excitement. I want to get high. I want to feel. I want to beat my chest. And so they suppress. And they think, oh, if I get enough money, if I do this, then it'll go away. It never goes away. Killer is in there.
If anything, it just marinates.
That. So we address the elephant in the room, the beautiful elephant in the room. You free yourself through the shame, the guilt, and the trauma, and you free the whole thing. That.
This is like the perfect opportunity to say, this is what you talk about in your book, correct?
That.
Like this idea of, it's almost like you remove the cataracts of entitlement and the lack of gratitude to perceive and become grateful for your situation now, and then start to address, the elephant in the room, or the, in my case, it feels like the elephants or whatever might be there, and start to address that so that they don't cripple you. They don't cripple you emotionally and stagnantly. And it's interesting because it's like, sometimes people like you and I are just like crazy. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you eat? You don't, what do you mean you're sober or whatever the case might be? Or, what do you mean you don't watch pornography? Like, whatever the case might be. It's almost like society is so trained, conditioned in a particular way that it's like, it's just strange, but there's a freedom in sense control. There's a freedom in choosing your life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think, oh, if I can't do that, that means I'm like restricted. No. Mm-mm. You're restricted if you do that. Mm-hmm. And I love this impression of once you address that, once you heal that, that's where that work starts. That's where you can actually start to live a happy life regardless of the surroundings. And when the surroundings are there, it helps.
Yes.
It helps. Resources help with changing more and more lives. I love that. But wherever you're at, be grateful for there and then start to address that shame, those traumas. Mm-hmm. What can people expect from, let me be very clear. You guys know I do not endorse things that I'm not into. You guys know that very clearly about me. I've rejected so many ad requests. Can we add? And I'm like, let me see your product. Like, no, you cannot. This book is, I can very much see it in the next, whatever it is, year, 5 years, 10 years, becoming one of those books, people Google like, what book should I read to become a millionaire if I'm a spiritual person or whatever the case might be. What could people expect? Mm-hmm. Out of consuming the knowledge you've encapsulated and contained in this literature?
Yeah. I think they can expect vibrationally, just to start with, you ever enter a room that just feels good?
I have. Yeah. This room.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Right. So we know scientifically that everything in this room is vibrating. And if we take a microscope and we break you down and break you down and break you down, there'll be nothing, right? Just vibration in the space. And so everything has a frequency. And so the frequency of this book, Spiritual Millionaire, is one of like connectedness and love. I wrote this from love. Mm-hmm. I wrote this as a gift back to the people who can never buy my $10,000 program or my $3,000 abundance reset program or my X, Y, and Z. I wanted to make something available that encapsulated the lessons and the things that I still use today. Again, I was a surf instructor living with my mom, making $36,000 a year, if that. And now I'm a multimillionaire, not just in money, but in life. Mm-hmm. I'm dope as hell. And I know I am, not because my ego says so, but because I know who my father is. I know who my father, mother, God is. And I know that that thing will never and has never made a mistake, and that my job on this planet is to shine as bright as possible as a nod, right? A bow to whatever rotates the planet. Yes, and thank you. The rose bushes on my property, they do that, right? The I have these Mexican petunias. And every morning, there are purple flowers just, look at me. This morning, I was cleaning the pool, and I went around the back to backwash it. And as I went to hit the button, there was this beautiful lizard who I've named Leroy. Leroy was sitting on the thing. And instead of just shooing him off and hitting him, I said, "What's up, Leroy? Good to see you, my bro. We're all stewarding this property. It's Leroy's property. It's Preston's property. It's Alexi's property. It's ours for now." Whoever built that house I live on, they didn't know they were building it for me too. Mm. And so all the materials, all the stuff I'm playing with and going to play with, it's all here right now. My only job is to get into alignment with that thing. I don't chase dreams. I chase alignment. And when I'm in alignment, dreams chase me. That is the work. That is the work. That's what's in this book.
That respect, that gratitude for other living entities, that opportunity, it's as if this trains you how to create that space, that space to feel how you want to feel. Mm-hmm. It's like these contents that you're sharing. It's like somebody wants to taste it. Because some people might go, yeah, that's for you. It's like, no, that's for you too. Like this is magical. You are magical. And that magic isn't exclusive, right? Yeah. And so I love that you've encapsulated it in a way that it's accessible, and the way you present it as well, it's very, it's applicable. It's like, yeah, it's a little bite. Yeah. It's one good step in the right direction. So I'm so excited for this release. I'm like, it's like with something, you eat something tasty, all you want to do is tell people about it. It's like, oh my God, this is so good. This question I always ask for everyone that joins the podcast, this is a way in which we like to say encapsulate our experience. And that is, this podcast called Conscious Success, which we played with that name too much. Mm-hmm. How would you define success?
In a word, gratitude.
I want to hear it more than a word too now. Yes.
if I can find gratitude for what is, then whatever is / was successful. So I look at all of the relationships that led up to the one where I met my wife. I look at all of those and I go, oh, thank God for that dance I did with Olivia. Thank God for Katrina breaking up with me and blocking me. Thank God for Danielle, my high school sweetheart, right? Because each step of the way, those women set me up for my wife. Thank God for my mom. It's success. I won if I can find gratitude for it. Yeah. I think that's it, man.
where can people consume your content, your book? Like, how do people stay in touch? Because it would be ludicrous for somebody to not want to if they don't already know who you are after this.
The book is at PrestonSmiles.com/book. And if you're on YouTube, Instagram, or I have my own podcast, it's at Preston Smiles. I'm easy to find.
And for those who have any trouble, you'll be able to find Preston's book in our suggested reading list, as well as all of his links in the show notes here. And I mean, Preston, I can't begin to express how grateful I am for the work that you do in this world. I mean, the amount of people whose hearts you've touched. I mean, in heart. Now, when I say the word heart, I literally mean it in multiple ways with you. It's like the amounts of hearts that you've touched with what's within the contents of your heart, physically, emotionally, energetically. My gratitude knows no bounds for the type of work that you're doing. And I am even more excited and grateful for the many conversations we're going to get to have after this. And as always, anyone who appreciates exploring concepts like this, join our community where we can have you as a guest to present and teach more knowledge, where you can get the reading list for this amazing book. And who knows, maybe we'll even have to do a little book reading group around this. I'm so grateful. Is there anything you'd like to share with everyone before we sign off today?
Yeah, I'd like to actually just acknowledge you for all the work that you've done and continue to do. Being human isn't easy, and getting yourself in position, the one that you're in right now, I know for a fact wasn't easy. And so all those trials and tribulations that you step through, all the muck and the mire, all the self-doubt, all the moving through identities, thank you. On behalf of everybody listening, on behalf of your clients, on behalf of your future clients, the people who will be praying for you 3 months from now, 3 years from now, 30 years from now, thank you for what you did. Thank you for your bravery. Thank you for your courage. It means a lot. It feels good for me to find other humans who heard a similar call and do it in their way. We're all birds of a feather flocking together, but we're different kind of birds. I'm a little more colorful. You're a little more sleek. And like it's all the same thing, though. It's all one thing, which is love. How can I express and experience love? Love, love, love. And this is your way. And we get to bask in it. We get to swim in it. We get to rest in your love because you said so. That's a big deal. So thank you.
I appreciate that entirely. Your words empower me, and let's do it. And we'll do it together. Thank you, Preston. Keep it conscious. So again, if you enjoy these topics and want to explore them deeper, join our Conscious Success community, where we not only go far deeper into them, but you can connect with other like-minded individuals. You can join our Conscious Success community at the link in our show notes below. And I really do hope to see you there.